Tonight, we're going to look at the subject of heaven and hell. It's not the easiest of subjects to speak about, and it's challenging, just even as we just read those two words up there, heaven and hell, to just say, okay, are we willing to not just come tonight with whatever might be in our own mind, but are we willing to come and listen to Jesus and what he has to say to us tonight and let him speak on this subject? So that's what I want us to do. I want us to look at Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 31. Luke 16, 19 to 31. It's page 1050, and I'm going to read it. If you don't have a Bible, there might be some on your table or just around you, so do grab one. Luke chapter 16, page 1050. This is a parable, a story that Jesus told, and he said this. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side, and the rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." Let's pray and ask God to speak to us tonight through his word. God, thank you for your word. Thank you, Jesus, that you came and dwelt amongst us. You who know all things. You who know the realities of heaven and hell. Thank you, Jesus, for the stories you told. And Lord, I pray now that you would help us understand and apply them to our lives. Help me. I ask for your help tonight. Lord, be with each one of us. And Lord, we pray again for our city, the city of Brighton and Hove. Lord, we pray for many tonight who are not sure what their future destiny is. Lord, I pray you would have grace and mercy upon them in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember a conversation with a friend of mine when I was at university. It was probably one of the most difficult conversations I had at university, and it kind of was sprung on me by surprise. I was just having a coffee with a friend, and this friend wasn't a Christian, and they knew I was, and we got talking about the things of faith, as we sometimes did, and my friend turned to me and said, "David, what do you think about hell? Surely God wouldn't send people to hell." But of course, it was just the two of us, and we were in a cafe, and it was a very loaded question, because what they were really asking was, "David, surely you don't think God would send me to hell?" Now, this was a friend who I was close friends with. They were someone that I wanted what was best for them. They knew that. That's why they kind of were asking the question. And I desperately wanted to say to that person in that moment, desperately wanted to say to them, "You know what? Yeah. God would never send you to hell." As I was there in that moment, I thought, well, I wouldn't want to do that. But you know what I realized in that moment? I realized that actually it wasn't my decision. It wasn't down to me. I could say whatever I wanted to in that sense, but it wouldn't make that the truth. I could tell her what she wanted to hear, but it wouldn't have made that the truth. I needed to point to something that was the truth. And so I said to her, I said, you know, this is one of the hardest subjects to wrestle with in the Bible. But the reality is that however much I might wish it were otherwise, my wishing won't change the reality. However much you might want to wish that it was otherwise, your wishing won't change the reality. You need to look at what God says, and God's word is very plain. And this is one of the places where Jesus himself makes it plain. He gives us a warning. He gives us a warning. Why? Because warnings are useful. Warnings are there for us to act on. Warnings are a sign of somebody's thoughtfulness and kindness and goodness. When there are no warnings, things just happen. And then you think, well, why didn't anyone warn me? I've been looking as we've been sitting down here at this little thing up here. Has anyone noticed that? Do you know what that is? That's a very, very small little warning. And what it's trying to say is you need to do something because the lamp has reached the end of its usable life. So please replace the lamp. It's a small little warning. But some thoughtful person, as they were making this projector, thought, you know what? This lamp could suddenly go in the middle of something that's being used and really important. We'll just give them a warning so that they know they can change it. And this passage today and so much of the Bible is in God's goodness. That's the thing I really want you to hear tonight. In God's goodness, he gives us a warning. And for my friend there, as we were sitting in this cafe, actually, if I was to be a friend, then I needed to as well be honest about that warning. And I did. And it was tough, but they took it on board and they started investigating further. And amazingly, God worked in their life. Because warnings, when people understand that they're there for their benefit, are actually wonderful things. And this is a warning that comes from Jesus Christ. I can't think of someone who is more for you, more for this city, more for this world than Jesus Christ. He left the splendor of heaven that we've been thinking about in these days. He left all that is wonderful, that intimacy with the Father, that amazing place. And he came to a poor life born in a stable, lived as a carpenter, rejected by those around him, ended up being crucified horribly. Why? Well, because he came to save us. He came to let us know that God loves us, that for us, that things we couldn't do for ourselves, God wanted to do for us. So here he is, knowing that that is his destiny, knowing that that's what he's going for, knowing that he came because without him, we wouldn't have a hope of this eternal life that we've been thinking about in these recent days, this wonderful picture of heaven. And he came to give us life. And so he comes, and he not just comes and gives us life, but he comes and gives us a warning of the reality of heaven and of hell. And it's a very, very earthy little parable. It's a parable about two people, a rich man. And he seems really well off and dressed in purple and fine linen. Purple was probably one of the most expensive materials of the day. And he lived in luxury every day. And then there was this beggar. And the beggar had absolutely nothing. In fact, he's kind of got not just nothing, but he's actually not physically well as well. He has these covered in sores. And things don't look good for the leper. And as we see the story unfold, we realize that this story has something very important to say to us. I'm going to tell you what it is right at the start. This story wants us to know that what you do in life really, really, really matters. What you do here and now really, really matters.